You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jamie and Jason. This is episode 297, and we are going to be having a little discussion today on calling. What does it mean to say God has a calling on my life? Or we often use it, that kind of language in church. We say, you know, God's called me to a certain ministry or to a certain city or a certain church. Or maybe it's we use it in a more vocational sense of, you know, I feel called to, you know, be a firefighter, or I feel called to be a teacher. And sometimes I think, you know, it's just good to evaluate what we mean by the words we use. And even if it's just a super common phrase, and at least it seems like in the circles I run in, Jamie, people often use that language. And I think there's good reason for that biblically. I think it's a calling when God, basically, God gives us this calling. He tells us through His Word and through the Holy Spirit that inner sense of purpose or desire to be about something. And I think, you know, in many ways, we don't want to rule out also the role of the church in discerning our calling. But I think, you know, calling is something that, because it's widely used, even in secular circles, people will talk about, you know, their calling to be a basketball player. And you know, people might mean something totally different. They might even be thinking of God being involved when they say, this is my calling. They might just be basically using those words to talk about their natural talents or gifts, what they're really good at, what they enjoy doing. And so they would say, this is my purpose. They may not say my God-given purpose, but this is my purpose, why I'm on earth. And so the calling kind of gives it more of a, whether they reckon it that way or not, it gives it a sacred sense, a sacred foundation for what we do on a daily basis, really. Because when we talk about whatever we're called to, generally we're talking about something that's not just a, you know, I don't normally say I feel called to, you know, take a food box to somebody. Usually I wouldn't use that language, although maybe I would. But more often it's, you know, a vocational sense of it could be a calling to run a food pantry or a calling on so many different levels. But before getting too deep into that, I thought it'd be good to just kind of set ourselves up with, okay, what does Scripture say about calling? And is there any, you know, when we think of it, is there a basis for us to use that language today? Excuse me. But I think there is, and we're going to look at that. So I'll just read from a couple different passages, but one of the passages I think that is going to be more wide-ranging and would apply to every follower of Jesus is Matthew 28:19-20, also called the Great Commission. I think seeing what Jesus says here, we would say this is a calling for all believers. And this is what he says: "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." And so there, you know, Jesus is saying every disciple is called to be a disciple maker. And, you know, this isn't something where you have to fit a specific gift set before you see yourself as, you know, like every believer is called to live for God, to honor God, and to be a disciple maker. And it's going to look different for each person, but that's, in a general sense, that's clearly there. And then I would also look at passages like we have in Ephesians, where we see that God gifts the church with certain roles or offices, and it's for the equipping of the church. And so these would be more specific callings. Ephesians chapter 4 says this: He is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. So you think about that, you know, these are gifts of God. If God has given these people, pastors, teachers, evangelists, if he's given these people to the church, that means that they are called to that work. It's not as though they've self-selected. They've been given by God, and so they're called to that work. There's other places we could go, but that's kind of just a starting place, and I'm interested in what you make of the times we use that language, Jamie, of, you know, I've been called to certain work. Yeah, I'll kick it over to you.
Yeah, I think you see a pretty wide use of the term, specifically in the Christian context, right? Christian circles, everything from like a specific, like, I was called to ministry, which is a very biblical concept, right? That God really does call some people to serve as pastors and elders, you know, in that kind of context. Right. The Apostle Paul gives us an example of this in 2 Timothy 1, verses 10 and 11, where he says, you know, that it is for this gospel that he was appointed as a herald or called, right, for the ministry purpose. Same thing in 1 Corinthians 9, where he says, you know, he's not in talking about paying pastors and money. He's saying, I'm not saying this for me, for I have a charge from the Lord that I have to do regardless, you know, that kind of thing. So that's one level of a call. And then, yeah, you have the specific or the non-specific, like you're talking about, we're all called to make disciples. We're all called to live for the glory of God, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever we do, we do it all for the glory of God. That's a call or a charge, right? And even to the degree that you think of like a marriage relationship as well, you know, some people talk about the soulmate concept, that S-O-U-L. And really, it should be S-O-L-E, the single, one relationship, you know, and then with it, you glorify the Lord. And so you have really this wide, that's a super wide swath, right? Everything from God specifically saying, hey, I want you to serve in this ministry context, all the way to, hey, I give you this freedom and expect you to glorify me in it. And all of that falls into this general concept of a call, right? And even the Apostle Paul in Acts, I think, what is it, Acts 16, where, you know, he tries to go one direction and then he can't go. He's prevented, is what we're told. He's prevented by the Lord. And he tries three different ways and then ultimately determines that he was called to go the fourth way. Well, that's the only one that was left, right? So, to a degree, it was the Lord guiding him 100%, but at the same time, it wasn't a specific, like, I'm burdened in my heart for this particular direction. It's, I tried to go somewhere, and the Lord said, nope, not that one. And I tried to go another way, and the Lord said, nope, not that one. And a third, and then finally, it was like, all right, now I know which way to go. Well, there's only one left. And even that falls under call. Right. So there's a degree to which there's freedom in the Lord that we are supposed to glorify the Lord with. There's the specific charge. And then there's some of just in seeking to be obedient to the Lord. He's going to open and close doors. So all of that fits into the greater topic. And I say all that not to muddy the water, but to really say it really is a pretty complex topic and equation, right? To say, I've been called by the Lord. Okay, that can mean a lot of different things, and all of them are completely biblically true.
Yeah, because, I mean, we also, I mean, we're talking about calling in the sense of how we're to live out our life, God's plan for our life, essentially. And it's also, you know, deeper than that, goes back into eternity. You know, Paul talks about how God has called us for salvation. So every believer is called to salvation, and then with that calling to salvation is calling to a life of holiness. 2 Timothy 1:9 comes to mind, where he says, you know, Christ Jesus, who saved us and called us to a holy calling. A holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. And I think it's good to root our salvation and root everything about our purpose in God. And I think that gives a certain weight to when we talk about calling, rather than just saying, like, here's some gifts and skills that I happen to be, happen to have, and here's some things that people have affirmed in my life, and so I'm going to call that my calling. I think it's good to have that foundation where you say, God has called me to himself, into a relationship with him. That's what salvation is. It's reconciliation with God. And then out of that, I am called to live this holy life. And then kind of out of that is there's a specific role, you know, you call it your divine destiny or your God-given purpose. But that's all kind of wrapped up in that language of calling, that we're not, you know, just saved from something, we're saved to something. You know, I talked about this actually in my last message on Sunday. Usually when we talk about salvation, we immediately think of salvation from hell, death, and judgment, right? But then salvation is also used in Scripture about what we're called to, what salvation is for, and that's you know, union with Christ and the holy life and the beauty of our being able to live out Christ in us and put him on display. And so ultimately, when you're thinking about calling, you should be thinking in those, with those deeper roots than just what you see on the surface and what people have said about you. I think that gives so much more weight to that idea of calling, because then, you know, you're recognizing what that ultimate aim of your calling is. If it's, you know, because I feel particularly gifted in a certain area, it's very easy to make that calling self-centered. You know, it's about me, and how I get to, you know, show off my gifting in football or whatever it might be, or make a lot of money. Like, I'm called to this so that I can therefore do something else that I like to do. But when a Christian uses that language, we have to have a distinct meaning where we're saying, God has called me to this. So it's a divine calling. You know, if you've been called, that's passive. Someone did the calling, right? And that, I think that's often left out of the conversation, at least in the secular world. But to be called is to have God giving you that that direction and purpose for your life that you can't come up with on your own. It's something that you do discover, but it's not as though you're, you know, out in the mountains, you know, meditating cross-legged and suddenly it dawns on you, oh, here's my calling. I think your calling is discovered in community. And that while it's from God, it would be very odd for you to be called to minister to his church and yet not figure out what your calling is, out, you know, inside the church. You're figuring it out with other believers. And so, yeah, you got to be thinking about all of that as you're talking about calling. And it could very well have a lot to do with your natural gifting. But the other thing I would say about calling is it's interesting how, at least as I read the Bible, Jamie, there's a lot of examples of people who don't have the natural gifting whatsoever. And we would almost say, like, why would God pick that guy? And yet they're the ones that are called to a certain ministry or leadership position. One very obvious example would be Moses. You know, he's called to lead the people out of slavery at the burning bush. That is his calling moment. And so he didn't have to wonder at that point, because he's hearing God speak this to him. But he had all these excuses, and he's like, here's all the reasons why I'm not called, God, to that role. And he argues with God a little bit, or objects at least. And I think that's also a factor we should take into account, because if we think of calling as that, almost like your natural talents then repurposed for God, I think that's a misunderstanding of calling too, because no doubt it often will include some of your natural talents, but often it's not necessarily something that people would say immediately, at least, or that you would say of yourself, yeah, this is clearly what I'm called to, because maybe it's something you're called to and God has to reshape you, and almost like someone who's sharpening his axe for splitting wood, he's got to sharpen you and mold you and shape you into the man or woman he wants you to be before you can fulfill that divine calling.
For sure. And to some degree, I think it also builds dependence on the Lord as well, right? That so often in this, we go, I don't have the ability in myself. I don't have the, you know, and I think that's even as simple as just overcoming sin, right? You go back to the calling to live a holy life. I don't think we have in ourselves the ability to overcome sin, at least not all the time, right? We can, yes, we can in the flesh, we can white knuckle some success here and there and, you know, that kind of thing. But long term, we need more than that. We need the active intervention of the Lord that frees us, you know, from our natural sin nature and empowers us. I like the way Peter puts it in 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, he says, I mean, he starts out the book by saying, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us, oh, there's that calling word again, by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world by lust. And so there's this sense that through the Lord, we actually do now all of a sudden have the ability to overcome, right, to live differently and to pursue what it is that the Lord has called us to do, which means, you know, the first and foremost action or course of action in pursuing calling is to seek the Lord, right? Continuously seek the Lord, because otherwise then we're going to struggle and we're not going to be able to do that or to live out that calling. And then the other thing that, you know, I was thinking as we're talking about this, Jason, is one sense of calling is just kind of, okay, I know that I'm called to make disciples. I know that I'm called to live a holy life. I know that I'm called to be an example, right? For 1 Timothy 4, 12, in faith and speech and conduct, righteousness, godliness, right? All of that. And even the character attributes, which are true of an elder, in 1 Timothy 3, the Apostle Paul says at the end of that this is true. These should be true attributes for all the saints of Christ, right? That the whole church should look like this. So one level is just in the seeking to obey the Lord, I stumble into call. Right? That it's not like, okay, I'm going to sit here until the Lord clearly calls me to this thing. Instead of that, it's, no, I'm going to just pursue the service of the Lord in some way, right? I'm going to look for gospel opportunities in my daily life. And then we believe that the Lord supernaturally sets those up, right? I call them divine appointments, where I'm just about my day, doing my work, meeting with clients, you know, walking into a coffee shop to get juiced up, and then boom, God brings somebody along your path, and you have an opportunity to have a gospel conversation with them. Or, you know, you just randomly think of a person that you're like, oh, I need to reach out to them. Well, turns out they're in a tough spot in life, and you get to speak the truth of God into their life, you know, or whatever. And it's like, I wasn't necessarily set out to find those things, but it's just in the daily, okay, Lord, how can I, in the course of living life, serve you and fulfill this, you know, this particular charge to make disciples? And then along the way, you find out, hey, you know what? I actually really enjoyed volunteering in this way, or I really enjoyed going and doing this thing, or I really enjoyed. And sometimes it's even like embracing things you're afraid to do. I remember, Jason, when you would go down and preach the gospel at the Union Gospel Mission, and invited me to come along, and I was like very nervous to do that, because I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what people are going to be like. I don't know what the reception's going to be like, you know, and just went ahead and did it. And it was super cool, right? We got the opportunity to share the gospel with people and to pray with people. And one of the memories of that stands out in my mind from, you know, the handful of times I went with you down there, was always how there would be a line of people wanting to talk with you and pray, you know, have you pray with them. And what a cool, you know, opportunity that again, it's not something you'd seek out, or I wouldn't seek out, and was absolutely something I was actually afraid to do. And yet, it was the opportunity the Lord brought along. So you're like, was that the calling? It's like, yeah, in one sense, the opportunity presented, right? And it's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to be faithful with this little opportunity. And then God does what God was already doing, in spite of that. And along the way, the Lord also shows you how you're gifted and how he's called and leading in your life, you know, and that sort of thing. So at some level, I think it's just good to, even if I'm not sure what the Lord wants me to do or what my call is, it's like, just take a step and seek to be faithful to the Lord in that step. And then God will use it and or lead you. If it's the wrong step, God's going to correct it, right? And points you another direction. But along the way, you might have an opportunity. And even, not that I'm encouraging rebellion against God, but like, think of the story of Jonah. Even in his rebellion, God used that as an opportunity to reveal himself to some sailors. And that's my favorite part of that whole story, is it tells you those sailors ended up going away praising the God of Israel. And those guys had a real encounter with Yahweh, actually through the rebellion of Jonah, because God's like, I mean, I'm not interrupting my sovereign plan you're going to Nineveh, you're going to preach judgment there, but along the way, I want these sailors to have an encounter with Yahweh.
Yeah, and I think that's so helpful just to, like, even think of, I mean, Jonah's story is, well, I won't say extreme because God, that's how God works, but it's a very, I'll just say it's a more dramatic example because when he goes to Nineveh, he's like reluctantly preaching to these people that he doesn't really like. He kind of hopes that they end up going to hell, and yet he calls them, he preaches God's going to judge, and yet, even though he's secretly hoping God really will judge them, they repent, and that again just shows you, like, when God calls you to something, it's about him, and you get the privilege of being involved in his work, and you're that, in a sense, that tool or that servant he's using, but it is about him, and I think that can be a real big encouragement for people who, you know, maybe you're not seeing a whole lot of fruit in whatever ministry you're feeling called to right now, and you're recognizing, like, man, this feels like an uphill battle. You know, I've talked with, not too long ago, I was talking with a youth pastor who was feeling a little discouraged in some areas, and yet he recognizes, you know, if I continue to be faithful and continue to make this about God, that's my, you know, I'm not called to be the one who changes hearts, but I am called to be faithful and to show up. And I think sometimes God uses those times where you're not seeing as much fruit to do a work in you, which is going to lead to something bigger later. And just going back real quick to that passage in 2 Timothy, I think this is encouraging. He says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. This is the NIV. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. So, if it's according to God's grace, and this is just a good reminder, even in those times where you feel like, man, I'm not seeing as much fruit, or I'm not seeing as much impact as I feel like I should have, if this is my calling, it's good to keep coming back to that truth that this is all by God's grace. And, you know, to remember that we as followers of Jesus, first of all, we're saved by grace, and it's not of works. So to not think that in any way our relationship to the Lord is dependent on, you know, how many works we've done, you know, that's another area where we can get into wrong thinking about calling if somehow we have to. We're called to something that we then need to earn before God as if it's a performance. And it's definitely not, because it's according to grace and it's because of his purpose. And I think that helps, I think that helps breathe fresh life into a lot of people when they recognize, you know what, I'm not doing this to earn God's favor and I'm not doing this to make a name for myself. You know, my identity is in Christ. And so, my calling is the overflow, really, of what I have in Christ, and so that's encouraging, I think, because, you know, no matter what happens as far as, you know, on the performance sheet, you know, you may not see the results you'd like to, but that doesn't mean that you're not called to that work, and I think that other people we'll see also just that your faithfulness and being able to stick out the tough times, often that's going to reap something big in later on. And you just, if you keep at it and you keep looking to the Lord and telling him how much this is about him and keeping your focus there, I think that's when the idea of calling is really helpful, because it's about him and it's from him.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.